Good morning. If you would, open up your Bibles to Luke 6, 37 through 42. You got a wild echo going on here. Luke 6, 37 through 42. It's just part of how the morning's been, I guess. All right. 37 through 42. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Pardon, and you will be pardoned. Give, and it will be given to you. They will pour into your lap a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. For by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you in return. And he also spoke a parable to them. A blind man cannot guide a blind man, can he? Will they not both fall into a pit? A pupil is not above his teacher, but everyone, after he has been fully trained, will be like his teacher. Why do you look at the speck that's in your brother's eye, but you do not notice the log that's in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, "Brother, let me take out the speck that's in your eye," when you yourself do not see the log that's in your own eye? You hypocrite. First take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take out the speck that is in your brother's eye. This is the word of the Lord. Father, these can be hard words to understand. Lord, these can be hard words to even harder to live out, Lord God. Lord, give me grace. Lord, help me remove myself in this teaching. Father, place me behind the cross, behind Jesus. May your words come to life this morning, I pray. May they bring the truth that we need so badly. Lord, I ask you to challenge us, confront us, turn our hearts, Lord, help us to be more like you. In Jesus' name, amen. Ladies, you may be seated. Gentlemen, you may be seated. Are you guys ready for this? All right. About as ready as I am, right? Okay. Here's what I want to do. I'm going to begin this morning with a quote from Francis Schaeffer in his book, True Spirituality. He said this: "The spiritual battle, the loss of victory, is always in the thought world." Okay? And what he's saying there is that there's a battle that we find ourselves engaged in, okay? Whether we recognize it or not. And it's lived out daily by each decision that we make down to the smallest things. Okay, that our choices have implications tied to them. And so how we view the world, particularly how we view the people around us, how we look at each other, how we perceive each other, that turns into these spiritual battles that either result in victory or defeat. And maybe that sounds extreme. Maybe that's over the top, okay? But I think as we start getting into this a little bit deeper, that you're going to see that's exactly what's going on, okay? That it holds far more significance than many of us believe right now. And this is what I believe Jesus wants us to see here, that we live the Christian life not in a bubble, right? And the fact is that it's only fully realized when we live it out with other people, right? Hopefully we're doing that in a healthy way, which is what he's teaching us, which is the purpose of his teaching. That's why we gather together. And the text this morning is meant to get us to think about how we are living it out, how we're engaging with one another, and for us to stop and say, is how we're doing this healthy? Are we living this the right way? Because that is the hardest thing, isn't it? To live life well. We want to get to the heart of Jesus, right? That's why we're here. And we want to have him get to our hearts. And this is a teaching of Jesus that really, okay, so over time, what's happened? Over time, this do not judge, this whole part of teaching has become like almost a way for believers and non-believers alike to create a buffer zone. It's totally putting a cushion space in between, okay, where we're saying, hey, listen, don't judge me. Don't judge me that I'm doing my thing over here. You know, stay out of my business, and it's me and Jesus here, and I'm doing my thing, and it's you and Jesus over there doing your thing, right? Right? But the problem with viewing it like that is that it doesn't allow people in. It doesn't allow us room so we can grow together. It isolates believers. And the point of Jesus saying, do not judge, is supposed to be meant as like a self-check. Not this way to say, hey, I have my liberty and you stay over on your side. It's a way to look at yourself, right? Look at yourself and then see how we perceive other people around us. How we perceive maybe someone's motives. How we perceive the reasons that they do things. How, you know, and then what do? We fill in all these little gaps. Whatever we don't know, we fill it in. And we create this story that's most likely not true, right? And the result is that it brings damage. And that's what Jesus is saying here. It brings damage to our relationships with other people, but ultimately it's going to bring damage between us and God. R.B. Cooper said this, unity is the essence of the body of Christ, right? So it certainly doesn't mean it's going to be easy. And it certainly doesn't mean that it's not going to get messy, because it does. It means that to be part of a group of believers, that it's going to take work, right? And the work is being this honest self-reflection and change, and then looking at others the way that Jesus wants us to view them. And I mean, we've been looking at the Sermon on the Mount here for weeks now. I think we're into the 10th week on the sermon? I don't think so. I'm pretty sure no. But we easily could have, easily. But there is, you know, as we've been looking through this, there's this overarching theme that is just so obvious. And that is that Jesus is constantly showing his love for the lost, his love for the hurting, for the broken, his love for the poor. And then he's teaching us here, because remember, the Sermon on the Mount is to his believers, to his disciples. He's teaching us how that those things should manifest themselves in our lives as followers of Jesus. And Jesus knows that when multiple people come together, right, from different backgrounds and different mindsets, that it's, like I said, going to get messy, right? It's not going to be a smooth ride. There's going to be disagreements. There's going to be people who get offended. And here's the point, though. Jesus knows all of this. He already knows that, right? He knows us personally, and he knows how difficult I can be, but he still sticks me in the middle of a bunch of people to do what? To help me grow, right? So I get challenged so that I see someone else's views, so that I'm not just isolated by myself. It's not just me and Jesus doing our thing. So if you're here this morning, and this is most of us, right? We're believers. So this is directly to us. Jesus is calling us to rise above these differences. He's calling us to rise above our own opinions. He's calling us to rise above our judgments that we place on people. And then he's saying, look at other people and then place them above yourself. It's a challenging idea. It's a challenging idea, but it's essential for having victory, right? To winning the battle, like we talked about earlier, winning this battle, how we could do it alongside each other. So with that being said, let's get into the text, right? 37. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Pardon, and you will be pardoned. So let's start by what Jesus is not saying, right? He's not saying that let's get rid of our judicial system. He's not saying get rid of courts, get rid of authority. That's not his intention, okay? He's not suggesting either that we accept or we allow other people to be engaged in illegal, abusive, immoral behavior unhindered. All right, that's not what he's saying either, because that'd be ridiculous. That flies right in the face of everything that Jesus says. It'd be anarchy, right? What he's speaking about is this. It's this decision that we make in our minds in regards to somebody else, okay? When we look at somebody, we make a judgment without knowing all the details, right? Without being involved with them personally, and we make this distinction that places ourselves now above that person. Like we've attained some holiness that they never will, because of whatever reason that we have, whatever ridiculous reason that pops into our minds. That's what we do. That's what he's saying. Stop, right? So maybe you've been on the side of feeling like you're looked down upon, or that maybe someone made you feel as though that you can't attain this thing, that they're so holy that I'll never get there. Well, here's what Jesus is saying. He's saying that that's wrong. That's wrong. That mindset needs to be thrown right out, because it's wrong to place motive. It's wrong to judge, and having condemnation on another human being is just, it's wrong, right? And we do that, it becomes this stumbling block. It becomes this huge stumbling block for believers, but it also becomes this huge stumbling block for non-believers, because they're looking at us going, are you serious right now? You guys are tearing each other up? I mean, really? You're supposed to love one another. Look at these guys. They're constantly shooting each other. So Jesus is saying our actions have impact, and we need to live out the Christian life so that everybody sees that and sees him through us. And then maybe if there's someone who's thinking about Christianity, well, now that gives them the opportunity to pursue it, to find out that he will actually show you how much he loves you. And what you're going to find out is that you got all these goofy, crazy Christians doing this crazy stuff. Is that judging? It's probably judging, see? But you could take that and you could say, all right, throw that aside for right now. And then let's go to Jesus, because at the foot of the cross, it's completely level. There's no hierarchy of holier, okay? And if someone's making you feel that way, that's wrong. That's wrong, right? We're all pilgrims in search of paradise. Unity is the essence of Christ, not division. And to look at a person, to see a person who's created in the image of God, the Bible tells us, and then to place judgment on them, is to just take what Jesus is doing and just start trying to tear it apart. Because now, instead of building this bridge over to somebody, now we've created this chasm, this void, right? And my duty as a follower of Jesus is to bear the image of Christ to the world best I can, right? So it's pretty interesting how Jesus frames this text, because what Jesus is doing in verse 37 is he's establishing a condition. Remember, this is two believers, okay? So if you're here and you're not a believer, this is kind of fun for you, because, or maybe you're on the fence, or maybe you're just kind of curious, because what you're getting right now is this like behind the scenes type of look. Like, we're kind of being scolded, like kind of being told how we're supposed to act, right? So you can kind of just sit back and you can kind of just see how these things work out. But what I hope comes through, what I hope you see here, is that the stupid things that us Christians tend to do, that it's not a true representation of what Christ wants us to do. And I hope that you see Jesus's love for every single person on this planet. So here's what he does. He makes our wishes for ourselves the standard of our duty toward other people, which is interesting, right? This is kind of different than a lot of things you see in the Bible, because this is all about how we're going to live out the Christian life with those around us, okay? So I am to judge others in light of how I want God to now judge me. You get that? So it's not that we're silent, right? It's not that we're allowing all this stuff to go on, because we wouldn't want God to be silent in our life if we're, well, maybe we would, but he's not going to. But what you want, how do you want God to judge you? How do you want him to judge you? It's with that standard that we should judge others. So like, do I want God to judge me based on my looks? Based on how I dress? Like, he didn't wear a tie and he's preaching? Oh my goodness, right? How about the car I drive? Like, should I be judged on that? How about that one particular mistake I made that seems to just never get away from me? How about the mistake I made last week? How about the mistake I made this morning before my feet even hit the floor, right? How do we want God to judge us, and then let's do that to somebody else, right? How do I want God to condemn me is the next thing. Condemn, that's a little more serious. That pronounces somebody guilty. And with it, with that sentence comes a punishment. And when you give it some thought, it's pretty uncomfortable when you think about, how do I want God to condemn me? Because we know what we deserve, but yet we also know what he's done, right? Jesus is trying to stress that point here. Like, don't you remember all the things that you did that brought shame? And then how I, as you came to me, utterly erased it all? And he says, look at that and then go do it. Go do that. Replicate that. Be the one to help the brother or sister in love who's in some particular sin. Maybe that sin has a grip on them. Be the one to help them out of that. Be the one to come alongside them when they need help. Be the one to show the love of Christ to someone who's maybe not there yet. They don't understand all this stuff. Maybe they're not this, you know, the Spirit's working on them, but they're still fighting it a little bit. Be the one to come in and come alongside them, not the one to pound them down. Hey, you're not supposed to be swearing, you're a Christian. Oh no, you know, it's crazy, some of the things that we do. You shouldn't be, like, once in a while, Maybe, I don't know. We need to be able to lovingly call out each other, right? In love. We need to be able to approach each other. This is about brothers and sisters together. We need to be able to say these things to each other in love, in a gracious way, not a condemning way, not a judgmental way, not a way that pushes people away, but a way that draws us closer together. So verse 38, Jesus shows us this framework that he uses where he builds the do not judge teaching. 38, give and it will be given to you. They will pour into your lap a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. For by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you in return. So give, okay? This is like unconditional self-sacrifice giving. It's about looking at somebody and just not making a rash, like you got to hold yourself back, right? This is a conscious decision that you don't make a rash judgment right away, but that you try to see them in the same light that Jesus Christ sees them. It's about being intentional, about changing our perspective on how we view each other, right? About placing ourselves aside, and then we just let God come in and do his work unhindered. That we get out of the way. We become a conduit, but yet we still stay out of the way, not a stumbling block, right? So give, it will be given to you. Pressed down, shaken together, running over. So here we go. Jesus starts to give this image of, it's like a farmer's market, okay? Where you're going in and you're buying, or maybe you're trading for something, where you're coming in, you give what you have, and in return, you're going to get something back, right? But look at the deal that you get with Jesus. And this can be good or bad, right? Depending on what you're getting back. Like, okay, so it's pressed down. Like, it's everything that he can fit in there. Imagine like your suitcase for a trip where you're sitting on it to get it zipped up because you got so much stuff in there, right? It's pressed down. I can't get any more in there. And then it's shaken together. Like here's this jar, and it's like, and everything settles out to the bottom. So I could pour a little bit more, and it settles out to the bottom, and pour a little bit more. That all the airspace is gone. There's no voids left. And then finally, it's running over. Like you're just, it's pouring liquid, and it fills, and now it's just pouring out everywhere. Okay? So that's the picture that he wants you to get in your head, of just this abundance flowing back to you. And then he says, here's your standard. Okay? How you're gonna look at people, how you're gonna judge them, how you're gonna attach certain motives to them, and however you do this, you're gonna get a whole bunch more back. So do you see that could be good? That could be really good. It could also really be bad. I mean, it could be like, oh no, what is this? It's right in line with sowing and reaping, right? Jesus wants us to think about our interactions with each other and then the implications of how we act. 39 and 40, and he spoke a parable to them. A blind man cannot guide a blind man, can he? Will they not both fall into a pit? And a pupil is not above his teacher, but everyone, after he's been fully trained, will be like his teacher. So clearly what Jesus is doing here is he's setting up that he's saying that we have an obligation as believers. We have a duty to bear his image into the world, right? And specifically, again, he's speaking about interaction and relationships between believers. And just because he's saying brother and all this through it, it's pretty gender neutral is what he means. It's everybody, all right? And he does this, right, through these parables, which are just these great images that he puts in our minds, these stories that create with them an image that we can hold on to where we can learn something from. And they have these great just moral, ethical frameworks attached to them that even, as you'll see a lot of times as he throws a parable out there, maybe people don't get it. But maybe later on they do. It's these things that he puts in your mind to get you thinking, to get you looking at things from a different perspective, right? So what's the first image that he puts? It's this image of a blind man leading another blind man, right? And the first guy falls into a pit. And what happens to the second guy? He's going to fall into the pit too. He doesn't know what's coming up. He heard like a little squeak or a yell, and then he's in there too, right? And so we look at it and we're like, well, that's silly. Come on. Now, if I were blind, why in the world would I be following another blind guy? Maybe I don't know he's blind, right? How do I know? Maybe he's just like, follow me. Okay. I have no idea. Maybe I just became blind. And this is like, I'm completely new to this. And so I'm trusting that this guy who I grabbed a hold of is going to lead me somewhere, not knowing that he's just as blind as I am, right? So, all right, what's he saying, right? As a disciple of Christ, I'm called to lead other people. And if I'm stuck in this habit of like poison thinking, wrong, you know, critical spirit, wrong thinking, then where am I going to lead people? Right? The love that I should have for others is now instead focused on division, is focused on things that I don't agree with. And now what's going to happen? I just placed an obstacle or a pit in front of somebody. And what happens? I fall in, I'm in there, they fall in. They're taken down. There's the battle lost right there. There's the battle lost. I place that obstacle right in front of them. And what Jesus is saying by not judging is that your critical spirit just took them down. And so what's the result? Now, my relationship with this person is totally damaged, but I've probably just damaged their relationship with God too, because this was the person that they latched onto. Like, lead, show me what's up, brother. Show me how I'm supposed to do this. And I just took them right into a pit. So Jesus gives another example. A pupil is not above his teacher, but everyone, this is verse 40, after he has been fully trained, will be like his teacher. So very similar to that first story, right? How we live our lives as disciples will directly affect those around us. And so Jesus is really calling us to like self-reflect here. This is that part, like that standard of measure, what standard I'm going to use coming back to me. This is it. Like, if I'm creating a toxic environment, a judgmental environment, a critical environment, a cynical environment, then the people who are looking up to me or the people who are underneath me that are following me, they're going to become just like me. And so depending on the environment that I create and the situation, that could be good or bad too, right? Obviously, that could be, it goes both ways. I mean, this is, if you can't tell, this has been beating me up all week long. Like, come back from vacation and here we go, you know? Because, I mean, really, so as a husband, as a father. These things all apply. As a guy standing up here preaching to you guys, I mean, I have an obligation, right? I have an obligation to you guys. I have an obligation to my wife. I have an obligation to my boys. I have an obligation to God, to Jesus. We as Christians have an obligation to each other and to Jesus. And if I'm allowing my critical spirit to come out, and there is one, if you can't tell, it's there, right? Then it's going to affect those around me, right? Then I'm fostering this idea of that being critical, being judgmental is okay. And now what have I done? I've just created this huge void, huge, that prevents people from their... It's damaging people in their walk with Christ, but at the same time, it's preventing other people from coming to know Christ. And that's a terrible, terrible thought. So Jesus gives us these two parables, and now he's going to ramp it up a little bit. Okay? So he's like, if you aren't getting the subtleties here, I'm just going to make it a little more obvious for you. So verse 41. Why do you look at the speck that's in your brother's eye, but you do not notice the log that's in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, brother, let me take out the speck that's in your eye, when you yourself do not see the log that's in your own eye? You hypocrite, take the log out of your eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck that is in... take out the speck that is in your brother's eye. So, okay, Jesus is clearly trying to get our attention here because he has a point that he wants to drive home. And so here's this image of a guy with a speck in his eye, right? And it's irritating him. Like, it's a little scratchy, it's itchy, it's uncomfortable. It's not life-threatening. It's there though, right? And then in walks this guy who says, hey, better get that speck out of your eye. And he has a log coming out of his eye. Like, it's so ridiculous. It's just, it's comically ridiculous. Like, you cannot say that Jesus doesn't have a sense of humor, because how could you say this with a straight face? Like, listen. And he walks in and he has a tree coming out of his face. Like, It's crazy, and it gets you thinking. Like, you can't get that image out of your head, can you? Is it like, who's got an oak tree? I'm thinking oak. Maybe you're thinking a pine. I don't know. So, all right. You're sitting there with this speck in your eye, and obviously you're going to be like, you're going to tell me to get the speck out of my eye? Dude, you got a log coming out of your eye. So obviously this guy with the log, right? I mean, a log's going to be big enough where what's going to be completely impaired? His vision, right? There's a log coming out of your eye. Probably not seeing so good. So Jesus is called, and he's saying, these are brothers, right? This is a brother. This is a brother. It's a fellow Christian. And this is all about our interaction with each other. And he's revealing something. And what he's saying is that when we're judging other people, when we're walking in and we're just rash judgment, there's this great danger attached to it. That if we always look outside of ourselves to find fault in what other people are doing, and oh, I don't like that, and I don't like this, and I don't like that, right? That we will never spend the time to examine our own sins, our own failures. And then, in that, we are totally blind, because we're so focused instead on like, what's he doing? What's that? What's he doing? What's going on over here? What he, did you hear about that? You see what he's saying here? Dietrich Bonhoeffer said this in his book, Life Together. He said, if my sinfulness appears to me in any way smaller or less detestable in comparison with the sins of others, I'm still not recognizing my sinfulness at all. You know how dangerous that is? You know how dangerous that is? Because we're talking about believers, right? Here I am, making this quick, rash judgment, and I don't even know if they found forgiveness in the Lord. And if they have, really? Who am I? Who am I? Then to put judgment on that, we're going to get to that, because that's probably the most important part of the teaching. And when we're doing that, it prevents us from having this healthy self-examination, self-improvement, working together. We just created a void. To pass judgment is to presume that we fully know somebody. We know their intentions, we know their circumstances, we know their backgrounds, we know their relationship with God, right? And to judge someone or to condemn somebody without love, right? We're doing this, the measure that you want to receive back, right? That's not saying that we ignore stuff, but that's saying that how we approach it, how we come to each other should be done in love. And the fact is that we can't ever truly, truly know one another. Sir Thomas Brown said this: this I perceive in myself, for I am in the dark to all the world, and my nearest friends behold me but a cloud. I know that's pretty dramatic, it's poetic, right? But the point remains that we should not be placing judgment, because we don't know. We don't know. Only God fully knows our hearts and our intentions. So I hope that this teaching that Jesus has for us goes beyond like a do this, don't do that type of thing, because it's not what he's trying to get at. He's trying to say, hey, this is what the lifestyle of being a Christian is like. It's not always cut and dry. It can be dicey. It can get uncomfortable. There can be times where you're just like pulling your hair out. But the whole point is that to be a Christian, you have to rise above that stuff. You got to rise above it. And the victory or the defeat goes deeper than just your personal walk, my personal walk with Jesus, right? It goes beyond that, because we're all in this together. And the things that we do, the way that we treat each other, has an impact far beyond us, because we're leading other people in one of two directions, either towards Jesus or away from Jesus. And I think it's pretty clear here of the unhealthy consequences that are going to occur when we rashly judge each other. The fallout, the damage. Here it is, the biggest reason why we shouldn't judge. It's not our place to judge. It's God's place to judge. And so James, the brother of Jesus, he wrote a book. You could check it out. He spends a little bit of time in James 4. He spends time reflecting on Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. And this is what he has to say in James 4, 11, 12. He says this: do not speak against one another, brethren. He who speaks against a brother or judges his brother speaks against the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you're not a doer of the law, but a judge of it. And there is only one lawgiver and judge, the one who is able to save and destroy. But who are you to judge your neighbor? I think James got it pretty good, right? Did you catch what he said, though? He who judges his brother speaks against the law and judges the law. If we judge the law, we're not doers of the law. What is the law? What did Jesus boil the law right down to? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind. Love your neighbor as yourself. James says, there's only one lawgiver and judge, and it's Mike. It's not. No, right? It's God. There's only one who's able to save or destroy. And when we look at brothers and sisters, and when we make a judgment, what we are debasing them. Like, we actually dehumanize somebody in that time, because we cease to see them as a creation made in the image of God, and then we elevate ourselves to this level as a judge over, like, a mini God. And it's not right. James is saying we have no right to do that, to pass judgment on someone, specifically a brother or sister who may have already repented and is completely forgiven by God, to pass judgment on them. And this is it, right? To do that diminishes the work of Jesus Christ. Do you understand? It's an offense to Jesus Christ because he paid for our sins. He endured the wrath. He endured the judgment on our behalf so that we would not have to go through it. And the judgment then belongs to him and not to me, not to us. If I was the judge, it would be a mess. I can't even tell which one of my kids is lying to me, right? I'm tainted by this world. He's like, yeah. My judgment is always going to have this skew to it because I'm tainted. Always, but not Jesus. His is pure. His is right. And Jesus sees the true person. He sees us for who we really are as a beautiful creation that he has placed here. And he is absolutely willing, was willing, to come here and suffer unjustly for us. That he was willing to take that wrath that we deserve, that condemnation that is due us, and then to take it away and put it on himself so we don't have to. And as Christians, we got to get this. We got to get this, and we should be humbled by it. God alone is the judge. He is the one who has the authority to judge. And if we're able to look deep, if you can do it, if you could set yourself aside, if I could place myself aside, and I can focus instead on the reality that is the saving grace of Jesus Christ and what he accomplished on the cross, then and only then can I begin winning these battles one after another. Like it says in 1 Corinthians 9:12, we endure anything rather than put an obstacle in the way of Jesus Christ. We gather here on Sundays to worship God, to meet, to do this together as a community. And so as a community, our goal should always be, how do we connect? How do we build bridges? How do we build bridges and fill in voids? How do we live our life so that there's no stumbling block that's going to prevent some other believer from growing or preventing a new believer from accepting Jesus? And we do that by following Jesus' command and his teachings. Amen? Amen. You guys got through it. If Father, we just, Lord, I pray that these words go deep. I pray that they do their work. Holy Spirit, I just pray that you do your work, that you just come into our hearts, come into our minds, and just reveal to us the areas in our life that we need to change, that you would just humble us, that you would speak to our deepest needs, and Lord, that you would help us to recognize the people around us, their deepest needs, that you would use us as a conduit, that you would use us as a means for someone to come closer to you and not farther away. And Father, if we are stumbling people, may you just shut our mouths. May you just speak to our hearts. May we just learn. Father, I ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.